Welcome to the Michigan District of the LCMS Innovative Missional Ministries Podcast. Today, we'll hear from Debbie Ellinger as she talks about her mission in the city of Detroit called Ellie's House.
I am a former police officer, and I am on staff at Faith Lutheran Church in Troy. I am the first through fifth grade large group communicator. That probably means nothing to you, but basically I help teach the Bible story to first through fifth grade, and then I train others to do it so I don't have to do it every week. So I'm on staff there. So the support that I get from the district and from my own church and private donors is how we've been able to make anything happen. God is totally working through this because I honestly have no idea what I'm doing on a daily basis. I have law enforcement background and I love Jesus. That's really about it. And so every day I wake up and I say, okay, Lord, show me today what we're gonna do, because it is very challenging, but it is also a huge blessing. So I'm just gonna talk a little bit about what our program is, what we do. You can go to the first slide. Okay, so this was the first house that we purchased with money that we received from the district. It is nearby by Belle Isle. It is a four-unit apartment complex. So we received this house. We bought it for a very good price. We started fixing it up. It needs a tremendous amount of work because it's four units, which means it has four bathrooms, four kitchens, four living rooms, four dining rooms, and eight bedrooms. But, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to make this happen. So we start working on it. I get a call on a Saturday morning from a woman who is involved in a Bible study with women from my church, but she does not attend our church. And she calls me. I have no idea who this woman is. And she says to me, this is going to be the craziest phone call you've ever got, but I was praying this morning and God said I'm supposed to give you this house we have, which you can go to the next slide, which was this house. And I said, you want to give us a house? And she says, yes, my husband's cousin passed away and we are the executors of his will. We do not know what to do with this house. God told me to give it to Ellie's house. They had been praying for Ellie's house since we got started. Well, someone offers you a house, you kindly say yes and thank you. And so I said, well, could we please just go look at it? I don't know anything about this house. And so we went within 20 minutes, we met them down, and this is at 7 and Outer Drive. This is what it looked like before. And it was packed with stuff from ceiling to floor, literally. It needed gutting, it needed a lot of work, but it didn't need as much work as the first house. So we were like, well, hey, why don't we start with this? So we said, yes, please, we would like it and thank you. And so our goal was that we would open this up as kind of like a headquarters office where we would minister and teach women about human trafficking, about forced prostitution. It would kind of be like the hub of where we were located. I'll show you some before and after pictures. So this was before, this was after. He thought the world was gonna end, and so we had thousands of rice packets and water bottles in the basement and propane tanks. So this was before and this was after, before and after, and then that's the bathroom. So we got it in December. We were done with it by the following December, and like I said, our goal was to kind of have it be our headquarters of where we would kind of have an open building for people to come in, and especially girls, that we could minister to them. Well, literally the week that we got done with this house, I was getting phone calls from people from other agencies saying, could you please house, we have women who don't have housing that were either in forced prostitution or being trafficked, which means they had a pimp. And so I was, well, we really weren't planning on doing that, but okay, we're gonna give it a try. So we had developed a two-year program. We had all these protocols in place. We had a plan, and so we started housing women. And then that turned into some were staying, some would relapse and go back on the street. Then we started getting calls from Homeland Security and FBI and ICE. And so when they would do raids, they would say, hey, we have these girls, could we please give them temporary housing? And so we could get them back to their country. So then we started doing that. We currently have two women that are living in the house right now, one that's committed to our two-year program. She's actually from Louisiana. She was trafficked in Louisiana for about 10 years. She came here in Common Ground. It was her caseworker. They got in touch with us, and so she is currently living at our house. And then we have another woman that was carjacked in Detroit, and found herself living in a drug house and being prepped for trafficking on the west side of Detroit. She had been there since July 25th. We were able to get her out of there on September 2nd, and she is living with us right now until we can get her back on her feet. You can go to the next picture. I'll talk a little bit about our outreach program in a minute. A couple of things that our housing program does. You can live at our program for 2 years rent-free. You have to be drug-free in order to live there. So we ask our girls to go through a 30-day detox before we will take them in at our house while you're living there. We require that you go to church, you do Bible study. We'll take you to all your mental health therapy. We'll take you to all your doctor's appointments, eye appointments, group therapy, any of those things. AA, NA will help you find a job. We'll help you go to school if you want to go to school. We'll help you develop a relapse plan so you don't hopefully relapse. But we will help you accomplish whatever goals you are. I always like to ask girls, what is your dream job? Like, if you could have any job in the world, what would you want to do? And I don't care how far-fetched it is, but let's start with that. And so we're really committed to the relationship, like Pastor Carrier was saying. This is actually our outreach area, where you guys are. This is our area where we do outreach. And this is really where my heart is at, because these are girls that I'm going to talk about real briefly. Although some of them are pretty tragic stories, God was really in a lot of, in all of this, actually, and what he did with these stories. And so our outreach area is in the 9th Precinct. So like Pastor Carrier says, about 25% of these homes are what are occupied. The homes that are not occupied are occupied by the women we minister on the street. They're living in abandoned drug houses. So we started doing outreach and handing out food and hygiene and clothing to women on the streets. That turned out into getting to know the drug dealers, because my thought was if we developed relationships with the drug dealers, that would allow us to be able to develop relationship with the girls a little bit easier. So far, that has proven to be very successful. We hand out about 180 lunches a month, and we go out about 2 to 3 times a week. We'll pray with them. We will take them to drug treatment program if they want to. We will give them clothes, coats in the wintertime, gloves, hats, anything that they need. If they need a ride to a doctor's appointment, I'll take them there. They just have to call me. I usually come somewhere in this area, pick them up, and take them there. We've been doing outreach here for 3 years, and so the relationships that we've built here is really what is sustaining our program right now. When people ask me, how do I measure success? I'll tell you one story about Kayla. This is Kayla is a girl that actually just recently died 2 weeks ago. And so we have a great relationship with the police department. The police department called me on a Tuesday morning and said, one of your girls has been shot and she's probably not going to make it. And so would you like to go to the hospital? And I said, yes, I would like to go. And so he got me into the hospital, which should have never happened because she was a homicide victim. She was a gunshot victim and no family had been there yet. And so I was waiting to try to get in, and the police department came and said, we're gonna vouch for you so you can go up there. So I was able to spend all day with Kayla and get to meet her family and pray over her. God's light in all of this was that we prayed with her on the street just the week before, and she did know Jesus, and so I'm so thankful for that. She has a strong family that loves her. So they have been inviting me to all kinds of family events, but I got to participate in the Walk of Life. If you've never done like a Walk of Life at a hospital, it will change your life. It will change your life. And so her family invited me to come and be a part of that. And the girls on the street and now the drug dealers on the street are starting to really rethink their life, because this girl got shot point blank in the head at a local drug house where we go. We had just been on Monday. I got the call Tuesday. We were there Monday night because we stop at the drug houses and feed everybody who comes out. And that's where she was shot by another girl that we know very well. So the atmosphere on the street for the last 2 weeks has been very tension-filled and very stressed. And so her family donated about 40 backpacks full of food and hygiene and cards. And so we've been handing those out and praying with girls, and girls just crying because they want to leave. They're so addicted, though. They just don't know how to leave because they're just so addicted. But we took the main drug dealer in this area to treatment on Thursday, which was a God thing. And the reason why he went was because he saw what happened to Kayla. And so even though our primary ministry is to women, this guy called me on a Tuesday and said, I can't do this anymore. Will you please come get me? So I picked him up at a drug house on Thursday morning. We drove him to treatment program. He called me yesterday. He's still in the treatment program and he's gonna go the distance. And I told him when he gets out, we would help him find a job, that we would help him get his life on track. Because one thing I've learned, it's a vicious circle and it all comes back to generational sin. And it's just as much the girls have it as the guys have it. There's some kind of dysfunction, some kind of trauma that has affected their life that they've had absolutely no control over. Whether that be their childhood, whether that be trauma from losing a parent or foster care. But I have to tell you, the women on our street don't all come from a poverty-based background. They don't all come from foster care. They come from all different walks of life. I have a girl from Rochester who ran away from home 2 years ago that refuses to go back home. I have girls from suburbs that have families that care about them and love them and want them to come home, but the addiction is so much bigger than that. So the life that they lead, this girl did not have a pimp. People would see her on the street and say she's a prostitute. I would say she's a child of God and that she's out there trying to survive. You can go to the next one. This will be the last story I'll tell. This is our friend Marquita. She died 2 years ago, a very, very brutal death. She was burned and dragged by her pimp and then shot because burning her wasn't enough. And we prayed with her. So she died on a Saturday night. I got a phone call from a girl on the street. She died on a Saturday night. We met her in the parking lot of the hotel that was on the slide before. And we were praying in a big circle with, there was probably 15 people standing there. And we were praying and we got done. And she came up to me and said, could you pray that, like, that long prayer with me? And I really had no idea what that meant. And I was like, long prayer? I've never prayed the Lord's Prayer with you. Like, what does that mean? And I said, sure, let's go over here. So we went off to the side. I said, do you remember what I said in the prayer? She goes, you just prayed for me specifically. And I said, okay, let's do it. And so we did. We just prayed about specific needs. I always pray for their safety and that God will provide for them. But I always say at the end that they would always know that they're loved where they're at, that Jesus meets them where they're at, that they don't have to be a certain way for Jesus to love them, that I meet them where they're at. They don't have to be a certain way to meet up with me, and that they would know Jesus is their Savior, despite our sins, despite what we do. And she said, I believe that. And so that was Friday night. I got a phone call at 10 o'clock on Saturday saying that she had been killed. So it's really hard to gauge success with what we do because it's really hard. But she knew Jesus, and so I'm thankful for that. So thank you.